today on A Word to Live By.
To listen to Jesus is the key to life. It's the key because events can't change you. They can point you and move you and direct you and expose you, but they can't change you. We don't live on events. We live on the Word of Christ.
Experiences are powerful and can be life-changing, but how do we sustain it? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares principles on how we can make life change an everyday reality. In part one of our series, Listen to Him.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our Word to Live By.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, I'm going to read to you the first eight verses. It's a really remarkable event in the life of three men and Jesus. It's where Jesus is transfigured, where Moses and Elijah appear. And it's a great event. It is a great milestone. Milestones are great, right? They're great in our lives. There's been milestones in your lives. When you came to Christ, when you maybe a season of rededication, a season of greater commitment, and maybe there was this time in your life where you said yes, and God began to do a new work, a fresh work. This is a milestone. Peter will speak of it in his epistle, saying that the prophetic word was made sure by what God said on that mountain. It was great. But what we find in this passage of Scripture, events and places where God meets us are great. You just can't stay in that place anymore. You got to move on. Notice what happens in this passage of Scripture. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles, three holy tents, three holy houses. I'll make them right here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. It was 1975. It was the first week of June. And as we did in youth ministry, we went to youth camp. Youth camps have been great events for my life. This one was no different. But you know how camp experiences can be for a lot of us. Great events. See, I had a choice, like so many do, to come off that mountain and live the life that God called us to live, or not. And I've been in youth ministry, and I've been on lots of camps since then. And I've seen lots of kids make decisions, and lots of folks say a lot of great things and make a lot of promises. And 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks later, it's forgotten. And their life is just as it was before they went to camp. Let me tell you this. Some of us go through revivals and it's great. Some of us go through movements and it's great. Yes, events are good. Milestones are great. But milestones won't change you unless you respond to them properly. What I love about this passage of Scripture is that this is what Jesus seems to be saying. Jesus is transfigured before Peter and James and John. It is a great, great experience. It is a great, great event. And he's overcome by it, so overcome that he says, this is a great place. It's a great place to be. Oh, Jesus, why don't I make a house for you and a house for Moses and a house for Elijah? This transfiguration is great. The word means to be totally transformed. And when you look at it again and you look at what the scripture says about it, I mean, light is coming forth from him. Light is emanating from Jesus. His robes are white like light. He is shining. He is bright. It is remarkable. They're seeing and experiencing a remarkable thing. And Peter says something. Let's worship the event. Let's build a monument for the event. Let's build a house for you here because it's good that we're here. Let's just stay here. And what's interesting about this passage of scripture is that while he's speaking, God interrupts. God interrupts the conversation. And yes, he's excited about it. And there's nothing wrong about being excited about what God does. Amen? Amen. But God stops him. This is what he says. This is my beloved son. I am well pleased in him, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. What I want to suggest to you is that to listen to Jesus is the key to life. It's the key because, folks, listen to me. Events can't change you. They can point you and move you and direct you and expose you, but they can't change you. Matter of fact, there's been many events in our lives that have taken place and many events that have taken place over all history that become faded and unremembered, even to the very people that the event took place in. And like I said, at a youth camp, I've seen many of folks who have been touched by God, many of folks who have been moved by God, many of folks who have said yes to God in those events and yet walk away. And what happens? The event didn't change them, but their response to the event could have. The response to the event could have. What I love in this passage of scripture is the voice from heaven, God Almighty, he says, this is my son. I'm well pleased in him. You listen to him. And the first principle of this passage in my mind that I want to share with you today is this: seeing remarkable things of God is not what changes you. It's how you respond to it. It's how you move on. You know, there have been great movements, Christian movements in history. In the 50s, there was a movement called the Keswick Movement, small group, community. And it swept Europe and it swept into the United States. In the 60s, it was the Jesus Movement, where all the young people, all the young hippies, this movement, yeah, they were touched and it was a movement of God. That was the 60s. In the 70s, it was the Charismatic Movement, the gifts, tongues. The 80s, it was signs and wonders. Movements, some good, some questionable. How many of you have been in a revival? How many of you have been to camp? How many of you have been to a conference? You were touched, you were moved, something significant happened. And yet it really didn't change all that much 6 months later. We're always looking for an event. We're always looking for something else. And yes, those things push us, but listen, the Bible says you don't live on bread alone, but every event that you get to go to, no. You live off the word of God. And that's why God's saying, listen to my beloved son. Listen to him. Walking with my neighbor, we talked about a little bit about this and talked about not only movements, but personalities, how people follow personalities. And we can name a bunch of personalities. What does God say to Peter? Yeah, Jesus is here. The prophet's here. Moses, the lawgiver, is here. But you listen to the Son. It's amazing to me that we have to have something always spectacular to come along for people to be attracted to. It's always got to be something spectacular. Do you know that 3 years of Jesus' ministry was pretty spectacular? Would you agree with me that it was spectacular? I mean, he raised folks from the dead, right? We got Lazarus. We've got a Jairus' daughter. We've got a son of a widow that's funeral procession, and they're bringing him to the grave, and Jesus touches him, and he's raised from the dead. You've got folks who are following him that were once lame and are now walking. You've got folks that were blind but now see. I mean, there's a couple of times that he fed 5,000 and 4,000 men and their families with just a few loaves of bread. I'm talking the spectacular. I'm talking about things that were great and were grand. And yet when he's dying on the cross, he has one disciple there and his mother and a few other women. And then when the disciples gather in the upper room, there's just 120. The Bible says that an evil generation looks for a sign so that we might believe. It's a wonderful illustration.